Good morning. Greetings to each of you again this morning. As I was wrestling with what to bring this morning, I think God gave me a message for myself. He didn't give the message for you, but maybe if you listen along, you can learn some things. I titled the message, "I Can't," and maybe I should have put that in the affirmative, but we want to look at the journey of I can't to I can. And what makes the difference between those two? Because there's a huge difference. It makes a difference in how useful we can be in God's kingdom. It makes a difference in what you do with your life. It makes a difference in how you feel about your life and how you feel about the things you're doing. Turn with me to Mark 9. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we can think of times when we said, "I can't." When really the expression meant, "I don't feel like trying that hard." You know, as a Sunday school superintendent in the past, I would ask people to do things. Sometimes the answer was, "I can't. I can't teach." You know, that always looked different to me as a superintendent than it did to that individual. You know, you can. God will give you what you need. Here we have a passage. It's the account of a demon-possessed man being brought to the disciples. And they could not do anything about it. And as I read through the story, I saw various expectations, various responses to this. And we want to look at that. We're going to read Mark 9, verses 14 to 29 at this time. "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question you with them?' And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me.' And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, 'How long is it ago since this came unto him?' And he said, 'Of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' Jesus said unto him, 'If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.' And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief.' When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, 'Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him.' And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And he said unto them, 'This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting.'" There was a problem here. And especially for this one family, a son inflicted with the devil. He could not lead a normal life. And they brought him to the disciples to do something about it. And it says they could not. Now, why I can't? I want to look at that just a little bit. The first point I have under that is everyone is expecting something, and many are expecting different things. That's kind of a loaded sentence, but when we are of ourselves trying to meet the needs, we will find that there is a conflict of interests, because what this person wants, needs, is different than what this person wants, needs. And there's a lot. Here in this passage, when Jesus came and said, what are you needing? What are you trying to accomplish? What are you looking for? The multitudes, or one of the multitudes, said, I have a son that has a spirit that needs to be cast out. So he was looking for that. The scribes, it says, was questioning with them. And what they were saying, we do not have recorded. But I can imagine the conversation was going a little more along the line of, why are you trying to cast out spirits? Humans can't do that. I don't know, but that's my imagination. But Jesus came along, and he said it can be done. And we're going to look a little bit more at that later. Second subpoint under why I can't is the needs are so varied. I see in this little passage alone, verse 17, a spiritual need. There was a spirit that needed to be casted out. That was a spiritual need. Verse 22, he talks about how it casts him into the fire and into the waters. That's physical need. This fellow was in danger of being burned, in danger of being drowned because of that spirit that was within him. Verses 18 and 20. I see an emotional need. He was crazy, I guess, to sum it up. He was not all there. He was not normal. Says he would foam at the mouth, he would gnash his teeth, he would pine away. And when he came to Jesus, he just threw himself on the ground. There was a need. We can't all probably very directly identify with some of these needs that are expressed. But we're going to look a little bit at practical struggles. It's the second main point of the message, practical struggles. What are the struggles that we face? Maybe it's family pressures, and that can come in various ways. It might be the working man who's trying to provide for his family. The mom that's at home with several children, fussing. And there's sickness, there's things that need to be done, there's a meal that needs to be made, and babies that need to be held. It feels like an I can't situation. Maybe it's church life. I have written down here, getting pushed out of my comfort zone. I can't do that. I referred earlier to teaching a Sunday school class. Or maybe, yeah, somebody leads singing. I can't do that. I'm not a song leader. Getting pushed out of my comfort zone. I'll relate just a little story in my life. And this goes back, and you know the individuals involved. Had a brother that had a burden for street ministries. We were talking about this as youth. And we said, where are the needs but where the people are in the cities? And so we talked about it with our ministry. And they said, yes, go for it. Go reach the people. And that was the birth of a work in Harrisburg. And I was blessed a couple weeks ago here to meet somebody I had not met before. Ask him where he lived. He said, Allison Hill, Harrisburg. Just to see the way God works in the lives of people. How God takes people to things that maybe they can't do. I'm standing with one of the locals a couple blocks from Allison Hill the one day. And he said, this city can be divided into four sections. He pointed to the one corner. He said, prostitution. He pointed to the other corner. I forget what he said to do about that one. He pointed to the other corner. He said, drugs. He pointed to Allison Hill. He said, murder mayhem. Can we go reach people in this kind of environment? Naturally speaking, maybe not, but we're going to be looking a little later here. We can. The answer is we can. Third subpoint I have here is physical affliction. Watched people going through cancer journeys with intolerable pain. Can they bear it? Of their own? No. But they have to. So they look to the Lord to help them through it. Does physical affliction scare you? I would probably be the first one to say, I can't go there because that's going to get me hurt. But by the grace of God, we can. Too much to do. That's another subpoint I have down here. Just can't reach around. There's so many things that need to happen. So much to do. So many people to reach. There's a lot. Another subpoint I have here is vices. How many times have you heard people say, I really don't want to smoke anymore, but I cannot get free of it. Put in the blanks there what you want. Drinking, smoking, or coming a little closer home. Eating too much. Maybe it's fill in the blanks. You know what your struggles are. Maybe it's talking too much, whatever it is. But I can't stop. It's just me. Can I or can't I? Another thing, need a volunteer here to open up this box. Who wants to empty that box out for me? There's not many children here this morning, so. Anybody? Okay, Douglas, you come empty that box out for me. The next point that I'd like to demonstrate here just a little bit is sometimes it's easy to expect more of others than of yourself. Okay, give me those screwdrivers. Take that screw out of that board. Just take it out. Just twist it real hard. You're not going to be able to, I don't think. It is actually in there for real. Okay, you can sit down. Thank you. I want that screw out. But he's not getting it done for me. Why not? I ask him to do something that I myself cannot do. I cannot take that screw out with my hands. And sometimes in life, we do that to people. Or people do that to us. It does not feel comfortable. They ask us to do something, and they're expecting us to do more than either they can do or they would be willing to do. Another little story. Stepped out of the apartment on Prospect Avenue. I met a lady that I've met before. She said, "Hey, will you take me over to the store to get a sandwich?" I said, "Lady, I'm right in front of my house. I will gladly step back inside. I will bring you out what my son's had for breakfast." She's like, "What was that? What was a bowl with cereal and milk on top of it?" She's like, "No, that won't work." She expected me to be able to go over to the store and buy her a $10 meal when she wasn't willing to do what it took to get it herself. That was pretty obviously the situation. She ended up getting very aggravated at me, but she was not willing to do something about it herself. Okay, Brendan, come up here. See if you can get that screw out with that screwdriver. Why can't you get it? Oh, you're starting to get it. Just get it. The other thing we do amongst ourselves is use an unfair yardstick. You know, you should be able to do it because, in this case, if we'd measure according to this screwdriver, it might make a difference. Try that one. We use an unfair yardstick. We look at something and say, "Well, they did that." And I'm not good with examples. "I would have done this." And yeah, now it's out. Thank you. You can be seated. But one that we commonly use is each other. You know, "I did this. He ought to be able to do that. He did that. I ought to be able to do that." Or, "They didn't bother doing that. I don't have to either." What needs to be our yardstick? What do we need to measure against? The Word of God, right? We need to measure against the Word of God. Which one of these screwdrivers is big? Which one's little? Which one do you think is little? What really depends what you're comparing against. The one's shorter? The one's got a finer tip? Okay, let's spend some time looking at the eye can. Turn with me to Philippians 4, verse 12. Keep your finger in Mark. We're going to be back there in a little bit. Philippians 4, verse 12 reads like this. Yep, it's not Philippians. I think it's Philemon. Okay. 13, thank you. That's probably what I'm after. Go ahead and read that for me if you got it right in front of you. Yeah, thank you. That is the verse I was looking for. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Claim the promises of God. Okay, we're looking at our third main point, how to become an I can. And the first thing under there I have is claim the promises of God. And that promise is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Christ is promising to give us the strength that we need to do all things. All things he has called us to, he will strengthen us for. Now, going back to Mark, as we look at verse 19, Jesus derides his audience for their lack of faith. Does my faith have something to do with what I can do for God? Absolutely. My faith has everything to do with what I can do for God. So we need to live in faith. Going down to verse 23. Faith in what? Jesus says, believe. Okay, so that's my third subpoint under this part. Faith and belief in what? In Jesus. In the power of God through Jesus. And again, he says, all things are possible to him that believeth. You see that promise again? All things are possible to him that believeth. And then verse 29, I see prayer and fasting. That one really spoke to me. Prayer and fasting. It's impressive to me to note two things regarding this account. Number one, just back a couple of chapters. The disciples had just come back from their journey where they were sent out by twos. And they said, even the evil spirits are subject to us. What was the difference between that account and this account? I think it was their spiritual preparation, the preparation of their lives. They had committed themselves to a full-time ministry for a bit. And they were focusing on that. They were focusing on what we need to spread the cause of Christ. Here, they were living their lives, it seems like, and somebody came with them, to them, needing help. And they were not prepared to give it. But Jesus walked up, and he said, I can give this help. And he pointed us to prayer and fasting. Jesus was living a life that was able to help at any time because of his relationship to God. And we see his example at other spots in the scripture of his prayer and his fasting. You know, today, you and I, if we're willing to live a life of prayer and fasting, a life of close communication to God, we can. We can do what? We can do anything God has called us to do. Is it going to be something that does not take me out of my comfort zone? Is it going to be something that does not hurt? Is it going to be something that does not look overwhelming? Maybe not, and the answer is probably not. But it will be something that you can do because of the power of God. We're going to spend just a little bit of time yet looking at the differences in Christ. That's my fourth point. Verses 19 to 27 is where these are pulled from. Where Jesus is deriding the faithless generation and also talking to the Father, verse 23. The first point, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Empowerment. On the way here, I saw a billboard that said something in effect, my theme, my goal is empowerment. I forget exactly how it said it. And I don't know where they were looking to for empowerment. It might have been a college advertisement or something. I don't know. But we can have empowerment in Christ. You know, the first look at the story, it might not have seemed strange that the disciples couldn't throw out the devil, a demon. But wait, it should have looked strange because they were getting their power from God. And you know, I, like they, have this human tendency to forget the power of God that is working in me. That makes the difference in whether I look at something and say, I can't, or I can. Is it me that's attempting to do it? Is it God's power through me that's going to accomplish this thing that God has called me to do? The next point, as I look at verses 25 to 27, when Jesus cast that spirit out, all of a sudden a total change came over that man. Initially, he was that quiet. They weren't used to him being quiet, but he was that quiet that they said, he's dead. He's dead. But it was the change that Christ bring. He was not dead. He was very much alive, which they noticed very soon. But totally different because he was free. And that's my point. He was free from the grips of that spirit. He no longer was ruled by what that spirit told him to do. And you know, in Christ, we're no longer ruled by what peer pressure tells us to do, by what an organization tells us to do, by what I feel like I need to do to become somebody. We're not ruled by those things anymore. We're free. We have a freedom just to go out and live with Christ. And I can't overemphasize that. As you go share Christ with people, you're not sharing bondage. You're not sharing I can'ts. You're not sharing... Okay, when we look at it from a human perspective, sometimes we say, I can't dress like that. I can't be that disciplined. I can't be a Mennonite. I can't fill in the blanks. I can't wear that thing on my head. But we are witnessing freedom. As you look at the lives of people, there's a lot in common with them. And this story, maybe it's not visible to the same extreme, but people are enslaved to their fashions. They're enslaved to their peer pressures. They're enslaved to the vices. And we are offering freedom. That's what Christ offered this man. And that's what we have to offer as we go out and proclaim Christ to people. And my last point under this section, Now it only matters what Christ thinks. What people thinks, what people think, does not matter the same anymore. Yes, we're going to be considerate, but it is not our driving force. It is not what pushes us through the day, through the week. It is not what makes a decision how I spend the dollar in the store or the $10 in the store. What now drives that is Christ. What he has for me, what he wants of me. We started out on a negative point. I can't. But I want to end up with the assurance to everyone that I can through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's kneel for prayer.